Hello world, this is CS50 Live, and this is March 14th, which means Happy Pi Day. Now, it's been a while since we've seen you, because last Friday, Rob Bowden and I were actually away at a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, a conference known as SIGSE, the Special Interest Group on Computer Science Education, which every year brings together some thousand educators to talk about and to work on improvements on computer science education. One of the keynote speakers this year, in fact, was the founder of Code.org, which you might have seen in the press over the past year. They've done an extraordinary job over the past year getting people excited about computer science and about programming in particular. In fact, one of their most well-known initiatives is known as the Hour of Code, which is an opportunity and a curriculum via which you or a friend or a family member or colleague can get your hands dirty with a bit of computer science and programming for just an hour to see if you take to it. In fact, if you yourself have a friend, family member, or colleague who would like to try his or her hand at some computer science, but you think throwing them into CS50's curriculum might be a bit too much too soon, well, by all means, refer them to code.org/learn, where they can try their hand for just 1 hour at a bit of computer science. Or, better yet, show them this clip.
Hi, I'm Leia.
And I'm Tanya.
And we're lucky enough to be studying computer science.
Hi.
We think it's terrible that 90% of schools don't teach it.
They definitely didn't offer it at my high school.
Thanks.
So we're trying to make this video to show that anybody can learn. We want to get 10 million students to do the Hour of Code.
Hour of Code.
Hour of Code.
The Hour of Code.
Hour of Code.
Hour of Code.
Hour of Code.
How do you get him to get to the sunflower? He needs to do some actions.
I got it.
Hey. Oh.
And then we'll run it and see what happens.
Amazing.
Ah, there we go.
It's pretty amazing. Your first program.
I wrote it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the code that you just wrote.
Very awesome.
I thought like code was like FBI hacker symbols and stuff.
A little bit of problem solving, a little bit of logic. It's like instructions.
Programming is a lot easier today.
Don't just play on your phone. Program it.
All right.
Awesome.
How does someone go about getting a job?
Maybe take an online class, find a class at a community college. You can get one of the best paying jobs in the world.
I think medicine's moving into the whole computer age.
Technology touches every part of our lives. If you can create technology, you can change the world.
So we're excited that you are participating in today's Hour of Code.
We just did 2 lines of code.
3 lines of code!
4 lines.
7 lines.
5 lines.
3,025 lines of code.
9,025
code. 5 lines.
60 lines of code.
99 lines.
60 lines.
18 lines of code.
75 lines of code.
Doesn't matter how old you are.
Todos lo pueden hacer.
The Hour of Code.
Hour of Code.
The Hour of Code.
The Hour of Code.
The Hour of Code.
The Hour of Code.
Whether you're a young man or a young woman, whether you live in a city or a rural area,
everybody in this country should learn how to program a computer.
And I just completed the
Hour of Code.
It's actually really easy to learn.
Girls should learn this too.
Understand that language that's going to be the future.
Anyone can learn computer science. And you can learn too.
Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, all of y'all, I'm learning.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people. Spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people. Spread it across the country.
Now, something tells me that if you're in CS50 or in CS50X, you've spent well more than just an hour on coding. But for any family members, friends, or colleagues that you'd like to introduce to this world, here's another incentive. Remember this guy? Very popular of late has been a so-called Flappy Bird on various platforms. And here we have a URL at code.org/flappy, where the kind folks at code.org have put together a tool via which you or a friend can make your own implementation of that popular game. So do check it out. Now, that conference, and last Friday, Rob Bowden and I were again away at this conference, and we thought about having a guest host, and we tried out quite a few folks for auditions. None of them seemed to work out, so we thought we'd show you a few clips of what did transpire.
I'm Ramon Galvan, filling in for your normal host, David Malin. The U.S. military's passcode was 000000. Not really safe, if you ask me. Nevertheless, I love you. Unlike David, who circles you. Let's not go over this mistake. What is this about? Let's just see a video with Harry Lewis.
Now, what's most funny about that clip is not how Ramon performed in front of the camera, but how Ramon does not know until as of a few moments ago that we were even going to play those clips back here for you on the internet. So CS50's own Ramon Galvin, coming back perhaps in some future episode. Now, meanwhile, you may recall we left last time's episode on a bit of a cliffhanger, whereby we mentioned that Rob Bowden has a twin brother, Paul, who, again, fancies himself a bit of a comedian, but he also happened to appear on a popular American game show, and we asked you which one. Well, several of you wrote in with the answer. And here's one such example. In CS50 Live, David mentioned about Robert's twin brother, Paul Bowden, and asked about to Google it. Well, looks like he's in Harvard too, and who wants to be a millionaire? And yes, if I'm the first one to report this, David, sir, I would be glad to be famous on the next CS50 Live. So consider yourself famous, because the answer was indeed, who wants to be a millionaire? And in fact, pictured here is Paul Bowden alongside that TV show's host, and we also did a bit of digging and found this clip for you.
Paul Bowden from Franklin, New Jersey. Hey, Paul. Welcome to the show. Paul says here you are a sophomore at Harvard University, obviously a smart guy.
I guess.
Well, in my book, that certainly suggests so. And I know when you were standing in line for Millionaire, a sign from heaven said you're probably going to do well, right?
You could say that. When I was standing in line, I had a polo shirt that was tucked in, and a bird happened to poop right down the back of my shirt, and it was still tucked in. But it ended up being good luck, so.
It is good luck, yeah. See? There you go, you're here. All right, Paul. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, then let's play Millionaire. And your brother's been sitting behind you, your brother Rob. How are you, Rob?
I'm good, how are you?
Twin brother?
Yes.
Right, now you're the younger, though. You came out 6 minutes later, right? Is
I
that
am.
Correct?
Yeah. Yes.
But are you the smarter brother?
Well, I don't want to brag, so I can't answer that.
So Rob has a twin, writes another of your classmates. Interesting. How deep does the rabbit hole go? I have a question. Why do problem sets take so long to be auto-graded? What goes on behind the scenes? So we thought this would actually be a good question to answer because it does suggest a bit of underlying interesting technical details. Contrary to popular belief, they are not in fact graded by Muppets, but rather by an infrastructure that we know as Check 50 on the client and an infrastructure we know as Sandbox 50 on the server side. Now for those unfamiliar, in order to test the correctness of some of CS50's problem set problems, you can run a command in the CS50 appliance known as check50, where you specify a unique identifier for the test that you want to run, and then you specify the paths to the file or files that you want to upload to the servers for testing. Now, when the response comes back from the server, hopefully you see all green smiley faces like those here, indicating that I wrote hello world very correctly. By contrast, if I did something wrong, like not actually naming the file correctly, I might get this scary red unhappy face saying hello C exists, which means it does not, in fact, as indicated by the red. And if something's in yellow, meanwhile, it means that those checks didn't even run because of some dependency. Some earlier test did not, in fact, succeed. So what's really happening underneath the hood? Well, when you run this check50 command, we're essentially zipping up all of your files, compressing them, sending them up to CS50's cluster of servers, where we then create what's called a sandbox around them. Essentially, you can think of this as a folder and as a special user that exists solely for the purpose of compiling and running that specific code in isolation from anyone else's, so that just in case a student has an accidental infinite loop or worse, it's not going to necessarily affect anyone else on the system, nor can any files be manipulated or deleted that shouldn't be allowed. Now, how does the code get tested? Well, we wrote a whole infrastructure called, again, CS50 Sandbox, and this infrastructure is written, surprise, in a language called JavaScript, which you might know from client-side experiences, but it turns out you can also use JavaScript on the server side. What do some of the tests actually look like? Well, here's some server-side JavaScript code, and it's just an excerpt thereof, but this represents two checks that we might run on your code. The first of which up top there checks whether the file hello.c exists, and the second one actually checks if your file compiles okay. And that is what ultimately generates those unhappy faces or those happy faces that you see in the form of check 50 results. Now, for much more technical detail, you're welcome to take a look at this paper here, which coincidentally was actually presented at last year's SIGC conference, and it dives into much more detail as to how that system works and why we built it last year. Now, in the media of late has been this expression here, go-to-fail, the so-called go-to-fail bug that plagued Apple Computer recently. Now, we don't introduce this in CS50 because the go-to statement in C is generally frowned upon, even though it definitely has its uses. And what this means here, go-to-fail, is that whatever program has this line of code should go to, that is, jump to, another line of code, irrespective of any lines in between it, and that line of code will be labeled with the keyword fail. And fail could be anything, foo, bar, baz, but in this case, Apple chose to call it fail because it's the chunk of code that should execute if and when something has failed. Now, unfortunately, Apple made a mistake with this statement, as we'll soon see, and they recently released this announcement in one of their bug fix reports. An attacker with a privileged network position may capture or modify data in sessions protected by SSL/TLS. SSL, recall, is secure sockets layer, and it's the technology used to typically encrypt traffic between a web browser, say on a Mac or an iPhone or any other device, and a web server, and TLS is related to that. This issue was addressed by restoring missing validation steps. So this was Apple's description of the problem and solution thereto, but what did this really mean? So we did some digging, and we actually found the source code for Apple's own implementation of SSL, which again affects Macs or iPhones, particularly if you're using Safari on those computers. Here's an excerpt from that code. Now, you might not recognize some of the functions, and you might not recognize the use of a go-to statement up until now, but this is somewhat familiar syntax. We have some if conditions, some indentation, a function, curly braces, so not all that foreign, but let's zoom in a little bit. Here are just those conditions, and here's mention of go-to fail. Now, what is fail? Well, let's actually scroll down further in the program. These are the lines of code, those three lines, that are executed if you do indeed go to fail. Now, what's the issue then? Well, let's go back up to those conditions where I've highlighted in yellow all mentions of go to fail. See anything curious? Focus on the bottom there. Right? The code might be new, but the ideas are not. If we zoom in here, you'll notice that the programmer has written go to fail twice, but indented both of them. But you may have made this same mistake yourself in some problem set for CS50. Just because you indent two lines of code inside of a condition does not mean that they're both going to execute. They're only both going to execute if you actually surround both of them with what? Curly braces. So what's really happening, if I sort of fix the indentation and don't add any curly braces, what's really happening underneath the hood is that go-to-fail is essentially left aligned here, which means it's going to execute no matter what. And you're going to go to or jump to those three lines of code we looked at a moment ago. So what's the implication? Well, take a look at those bottommost two lines right here. Those lines will never ever get reached, because no matter what, that second go-to-fail is going to compel the program to jump right over those lines. And long story short, those last two lines are actually important for the correctness of SSL. Indeed, if they do not execute, it is possible for an adversary, a bad guy, to wage what's generally known as a man-in-the-middle attack, pretending to be a secure website like Facebook or Amazon or Google, but really just having an encrypted connection to you, and they then forward your traffic along, for better or for worse, possibly your username, possibly your password, possibly your credit card information to the actual site in question, or not even at all. In other words, this breaks SSL. Now, thankfully, Apple did address this, both for macOS and iOS recently, but if you'd like to double check that your computer is now up to date, assuming you have auto updates on, head to gotofail.com, and you'll see a nice little test that will tell you as much. Meanwhile, if you'd like to take a look at the actual source code, this is a long URL, but here's the entire source code for that file if you'd like to get a sense of what real-world programming is like, and frankly, real-world bugs. Speaking of bugs, this meme was circulated quite a bit of late. 99 little bugs in the code, 99 little bugs in the code, take one down, patch it around, 127 little bugs in the code. So what is this referring to? Possibly this is an experience you yourself have had, where you try to chase down some bug and then another, or maybe even more bugs spring up as a result of your having tried to address one problem. In fact, for this to hit home even further, let's pull up a face that's perhaps familiar, Hal, from Malcolm in the Middle. Now some hellos from some of your classmates. Up first is Khalid and a friend of his who hail from Northern Virginia in the United States.
Ahoy, CS50 mates. My name is Khalid Abi. Me and my parrot, Snobbies. I live in Northern Virginia. I am an 8th grader, and I am excited to be part of CS50 class. It is great to experience a college by staying at home. As you can guess, I am enrolled in the online learning program. Feel free to experience my first project here. See you around.
And now let's head to Kansas City, Missouri, where Derek awaits. Derek was at work when he filmed this, so you might have hear a bit of noise in the background since he works in a data center.
Hello, world. My name is Derek Mitchell. I am in Kansas City, Missouri, and I am taking the CS50 class because I really need to learn some programming for my job. This is where I work. I am a regional support technician for Cabela's, world's foremost outfitter. And I'm just trying to learn some more programming so that I can excel at my career and just be a better technician. So, again, my name is Derek Mitchell, and this is CS50.
E adesso, Federico de Italia.
Hello, world. My name is Federico Crivelli. I'm from Italy. I was born in one of the largest cities of the country, Milan, and I was actually raised in a smaller city next to Milan. So here starts my desire of expanding my horizons. And this is why today I am a foreign exchange student in Washington State, of course, United States of America. So American education is really different from Italian. Here I got much more hands-on experience rather than studies and, I mean, memorization. So this was me. My name again is Federico Crivelli, and this is CS50.
And now a hello from someone we weren't expecting.
Hello, world. My name is Sarah Coffey. I'm from Waltham, Massachusetts, and I'm married to CS50's own Dan Coffey. Dan, I just wanted to wish you a very happy birthday.
He doesn't know this is about to happen, but CS50's own Dan Coffey is right now in the control room, but is about to be on the internet because today is his 29th birthday.
We sing happy birthday.
Come on out, Dan.
And may all your dreams come true.
Please come out, Dan, otherwise this is about to be very awkward. Dan, this here is Dan Coffey. Did not know this was going to be happening. We, of course, have prepared this. So, happy 29th birthday. And we hope you are indeed surprised. No, that other way. No, it was Dan Coffey, everyone. Thank you very much, Dan, for coming on out. And now, 60 seconds of pandas. Now, you may recall from a recent episode that we introduced Launch Code, an initiative in St. Louis, Missouri, run by volunteers who have been following along with CS50's curriculum and guiding citizens of St. Louis through that material toward an end of helping to pair them with programming jobs at the end of the semester. You may recall, in fact, that this initiative was so popular in St. Louis that they nearly overflowed the local opera house. Well, Launch Code's founders very graciously came to campus recently and agreed to sit down with us in Sanders Theater for a chat about what Launch Code is and how it's been going.
We're here today with our friends from Launch Code, who have flown in all the way from St. Louis to say hello. Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Who do we have here with us today from Launch Code?
So I'm Jim McKelvey.
And I'm Brendan Lind.
And I'm Zach Liu.
And for those unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about what Launch Code is?
So Launch Code is a job placement system that we are pioneering, starting in St. Louis, but we're going to bring it nationwide. The idea basically is to get companies to change their hiring practices to accept people who have non-traditional credentials. So as we know, as programmers, that a lot of the best programmers are self-taught to some extent. And companies don't necessarily recognize this in their hiring practices. So if you're a good coder, you still don't necessarily have a way to a good job. Mm-hmm. And so we started working with 100 companies from, you know, billion-dollar firms like Enterprise and, you know, MasterCard, down to two-man startups, and we've gotten them all to agree to take LaunchCode candidates into basically an apprenticeship system.
And how did you find CS50's materials in the first place?
So it was really funny. My wife took your class online through Harvard Extension, and she took fall 2012 CS50. And while we were, you know, I'm a computer scientist by training, and so you know, I was helping her through the classes. I was watching it, and she said, you know, this is being offered online through edX, and you know, we're placing these people who have very little, you know, traditional credentials, and we're like, oh, this would be fantastic. So that's how we found out about it. It was through my wife Anna and your Harvard Extension program. So
that's funny. Such a small decision, her taking the class, has had such an impact. Then
it was super lucky, we were really excited to see that you guys are working with edX and making it available and all the supplemental materials, and it's a fantastic resource for training.
Okay. Well, in the news, we actually came across a look at what the first night of LaunchCode was when you were in the Opera House. Could you give us a firsthand account of what your experience was like that evening?
Yeah, so I was in Rome, and Brendan called me at 3 in the morning and said, we've overflowed all three venues. So we had the Christ Church Cathedral, the Downtown Library, and the Soldiers Memorial, which are three fairly large venues. And we were expecting, you know, a few hundred people. We had over 1,000 people sign up. So we overflowed everything. And Brendan calls me, like, we need a bigger building, you know. So, and they got us this giant opera house where we held the first class.
Oh, that's great.
And people were so grateful. I mean, the people who we are reaching are people who you just want to help these folks.
And from what you've seen, just how realistic is it someone who enters the course with no prior background and some months later they have 13 weeks of CS50 under their belt to actually feel confident enough and be qualified enough for an actual programming job?
So, David, we really don't know, okay? Because we haven't done it at any sort of scale yet. Mm-hmm. You know, our data points right now are what I've learned, you know, is possible. And then the, you know, 50-some people that we've placed, we know generally where they are. And our guess is that somebody who comes through CS50 is going to be generally as skilled as some of the people we've already successfully placed. So we haven't proven it at scale yet. And I'm not saying that it's a complete, you know, education by any means, you know, but it's such a great start, and it gives people a context, and it also, you know, it's a rigorous class. So anyone who, you know, completes this class has proven something, you know, that they've demonstrated some character or a combination of, you know, either, you know, tenacity or intelligence or, you know, whatever that magic formula is that gets them through the, you know, pretty tough class. We think that's going to, you know, bode very well for their success. And we have companies that are willing to, you know, to back us up on that. So we don't really know, but we're very optimistic that, that anyone who gets through CS50, we can get a job.
And the thing is LaunchCode is not like your typical entry-level hire, right? It's not where you come in and say normally you might need a CS degree and 2 years of work experience to get a lot of jobs, right? But then LaunchCode, it says, comes in, you don't need any of those things. You don't have to be qualified to that point. What you have to be is have that aptitude and drive to get to that level. So it's an apprenticeship. And it lasts until you're at that level where you would be brought in for the normal position. And the company can let you go at any point.
So the companies are the ones doing ultimately that initial apprenticeship.
Right.
Yeah.
So what CS50 what we're doing, trying to do with CS50 is get them to the point where then, hey, if you can take CS50, like, you have that drive, you have that will to learn, and you have that aptitude to self-learn and work in a company to handle whatever it is that is needed, right? And then we get them in the door, and they get paid $15 an hour for the duration of the apprenticeship. And whenever they're ready, the company turns them into a salaried position. If they don't, the company doesn't think that they're on their way, they can let them go. And so far, that success is that, like, pretty much everybody is still with their company.
Okay. So right now you're focused on St. Louis, but I gather you'd like to take the initiative nationally. So what is indeed next for you?
So next are a series of cities around the country. So we don't want to go national until we've refined the model and maybe laid, you know, a couple of those sidewalks through the dirt. The completion of this first CS50 class is going to be really important because we're getting good data from that. But once we know what, you know, what works and what we really should be doing and scaling, then we're going to scale as quickly as possible because the need exists everywhere. And you know, we're not trying to just make this some sort of local St. Louis phenomenon. We're just using that as a test bed. And then we'll be expanding, you know, as quickly as we can to, you know, places that have similar needs.
Well, thank you so much for everything you've been doing. We're flattered to even be part of it, and it's been quite inspiring to see how successful
this is. This has been so generous, of just a world-class education that is available for people who genuinely appreciate it. I wish you could meet some of the students and see the people who, you know, it's changing lives, and I just wish we could reach through the cameras and bring them here, but it's so meaningful, and it's moving the needle, and it's really good. So thank you.
Thank you from us as well. Appreciate it.
Right.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
LaunchCodeSTL.com for more.
So we got to chatting shortly after that chat about what more we could do, and we came upon the following. We are so pleased to announce the first ever CS50 hackathon that will be going on the road to St. Louis, the Launch Code Edition. In fact, we'll be taking with us, if you'd like to meet these folks, if you yourself hail from St. Louis or would ultimately like to tune in on live, CS50's own Andrew will be there, CS50's Cheng, Colton, Dan, whom you just met, Davin, Gabriel, Jason, Ramon, who you also met earlier, Rob Bowden, Shelley, whom you may remember from such films as, and Zamyla. So indeed, if you would like to join us in St. Louis or online at live.cs50.net, tune in for the next live show on Friday, March 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be awake for quite a few hours that evening, and we hope you'll stay up with us as well. That's it for this week's CS50 Live. Thanks so much to everyone behind the camera. Thanks so much to our contributors. We'll see you in St. Louis. This was CS50.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody...
What does the fox say?
What does the fox say?